Okay. Morning, everybody. I hope you're online because the best I can do this morning. If not, we'll make amends.
You're loud and clear, Jerry.
Okay. So, deep breath, everybody. Deep breath. And allow yourself to quiet down, soften. Let us all be as receptive as we possibly can be. It feels as if today's lesson is much more about openness, widening our view of perception, not getting caught up in small stuff. And again, we would emphasize that our learning now is taking place on a level of heart and spirit. We're using words to go beyond words. We're using words because that is our basic way of communicating. But there is a vibration behind the words. And it's the vibration, the tone, the essence that's much more important than the words itself. So if there's something that comes along that you don't understand with your thinking mind, open yourself up to knowing the truth of it for you in this moment. And I will work on doing the same. Even though I am sort of your chosen spokesperson, what I am saying in words is a reflection of my own understanding, as far or as deep as that goes. It's never the truth with a capital T. Truth with a capital T occurs in total silence. The German mystic Meister Eckhart once said that there's nothing closer to God than silence. I like to keep that in mind, especially when I'm talking. For each one of us, our soul is yearning to learn something different or better or larger this morning. We might not even know what that is, but I'm going to encourage each one of us, including myself, to open ourselves up to that learning. So we're going to overlap a little bit from page 28 from last class. Now understand true self, authentic self, true self. The nature of who you are. This is not a structure of identity that has been manufactured. In other words, it's not the same as your personality, your ego. Your personality and your ego is something that you, me, we created for ourselves as part of our vehicle here on planet Earth. Chose this body, chose this mind, chose a lot of circumstances that I'm going through. So my ego and my personality are constructs. They're things that I created as part of my vehicle, my journey here on planet Earth. They're not the truth of who I am. We were told they were the truth of who I am for a long time. When we grow up, I know I've said this before, people start telling us who we are. Oh, you're just like your mother, you're just like your father, you're just like one I used to get, you're just like your old man. Janet.
The monad.
Monad is oneness. It's another way of saying oneness. Monad means one, solid, single.
In the reading that
Yeah, I'm not sure why they interchange that. It's a rather, to me, it's a rather confusing word. But what it means is oneness.
the guy capitalized.
Pardon me?
They've got a capital M like it's a something. You know, like I'm a monad is a person or
Oh, no, the monad is, you could say God is one, we are all one. And again, I don't know why they kind of slipped. They like that word for some reason. Huh? It's interesting. Maybe they do things that are annoying to get our attention.
look it up online and see it all.
Okay. What I do for myself with monad is just substitute the word oneness. And that, again, that might be my limited interpretation, but that's the best I can do today. Now understand true self, your authentic self, your authentic being, beyond your mind, beyond your body, beyond your personality, beyond your ego. This is not a structure of identity that has been manufactured, made up. It is the essence of yourself, the true nature of your being. And to ascribe, this sentence really knocked me out because I'm not quite sure what it means. Or I object to it a little bit, if that's okay. And to ascribe it properties of the true nature of your being, excuse me, and to ascribe it properties of personality would in many ways be to contaminate it with an idea claimed from the lower realm. And that kind of assumes that the higher realm can be contaminated. And I don't believe that's true. The higher realm or the higher consciousness or the Christ consciousness is above contamination. Can fear, anger, hatred, judgment do not exist in higher consciousness. So I don't understand how it's possible that higher self could be contaminated by lower consciousness. It just doesn't happen. So I'm gonna put a little star by that one and say, I don't understand this one yet. Maybe I will someday. But it seems to me, in many ways, be to contaminate it with an idea claimed from the lower realm. I don't think that's possible. Now, from your higher self consciousness, you can see or understand that your lower self can be in fear, can be in judgment, can be in anger, can be in untruth, right? But that doesn't contaminate the higher self. The higher self is just observing that the lower consciousness is in that state of perception. Yeah, Don?
What comes to me is awareness. Awareness is a big thing.
Okay.
And sometimes awareness takes effort. You got to take a breath and become aware of what's pushing your buttons
Okay.
or, distracting you or pulling you into.
When you're right. When I am aware, I am in higher consciousness, right? And I am aware that part of me might have got lost in fear or anger or separation or limitation. But that didn't disturb my higher consciousness. My higher consciousness is not disturbed by anyone or anything. It cannot be. But I have to be in my state of awareness I have to be in that higher state of awareness. Is, let's put it this way. I don't want to get too distracted here. Awareness is a higher form of consciousness. Awareness means being awake. John the Baptist, when he came out of the desert, said, repent. He didn't mean you're sinners, there's something wrong with you. He said, wake up, become aware. How can I see this differently? But I can only do that in a state of awareness, in a state of higher consciousness. I can get lost in lower consciousness, in fear or anger. Like that, yes. The drop of a hat. And then it takes me a while, because what happens is my awareness becomes constricted. It becomes very limited at that point. But I don't know it's become constricted. I'm trapped, but I don't know I'm trapped. Until someone or something comes along and I go, I could have had a V8. I could do this differently.
You've referred to it as the lens.
Okay.
Working at a higher level, changing the lens.
I'm changing the lens, or I'm changing the frequency, then changing the station. Ram Dass gave an example, really. I'm not going to spend a whole bunch of time on this one, but he said, you can tell this was an oldie. He said, I want you to imagine that there's a channel selector on the side of your head. And on channel one is the survivor channel. It's completely ego consciousness. It's safety, it's anger, it's fear, it's limitation. It's that part of ourselves that's just living out of survival mode. So that everyone or everything that I see is either an enemy or a friend or irrelevant. I walk into a room and everybody falls through those three categories. And that's all there is. Now you get out to the second channel. And the second channel is the days of our lives. It's a story we're making up all the time about what our life is all about, or what your life is all about, what relationships are all about. And then I flip on to the third channel. Now, when I flip on to the third channel, channel one and channel two still exist. I'm just not focusing on them too much. The third channel is the what we might call the mythological channel. It's your astrological signs. I'm a Leo. On channel three, I'm a Leo. And all the constructs that go with being a Leo and all the things that are related to that. And then I flip on channel four. And channel four, I start looking around. I go, oh, you're in there. I'm in here. What an interesting spacesuit you created for yourself. Here's the one I created for myself. The insides that we're looking at are the same. The outsides are different. And then I flip on channel five. Did I skip four? Then I flip on channel five, and all of a sudden I realize we are all one. Nothing gets in the way of that. And then if I really want to go crazy, I flip on channel six and everything disappears. That's the Buddhist channel. The Buddhist, like, it's nirvana, all right? Nothing's happening here, but everything's happening here. So each one of those defines a state of awareness. But until we get onto channel four and five, we're in a limited state of awareness, and we're usually sometimes trapped in judgment or in fear or in limitation. And when I realize I am lost in fear or limitation, right? Then I have a choice. Then I have a choice. I have a choice of moving in one direction. I can stay where I am. I can stay in the mud. I can stay in the tar baby. I can stay wherever or I can say, this is not the truth. I choose to move to a level of higher consciousness that allows me to see the truth. Does that make sense? I'm making all of this up as I'm going along here. So don't blame me. So let's drop that piece about being contaminated by the lower realm of consciousness, because I just don't think that can happen. And I might change my mind later. The upper room, you see, is Christ consciousness. And the aspect of self that manifests here is indeed the true self, or the monad, oneness. Its ascriptions, its province is being, not doing, is being. When you are in higher consciousness, there's nothing you have to do except be in it. Being in it excuse me, is an activity. It doesn't appear that way to the small self, but it is. And the presence and being at this level of amplitude and tone is what reclaims the world. Course in Miracles suggests one person who's living out of higher consciousness can change the world. There are moments when we are changing the world. There are moments of realization, moments of awakeness, where we are in peace or in light or in love. We're not thinking about being in love. We are in love. Might just be for a split second and go, oh, wow, I was right there. And what the ego wants to do is wants to, like catching a butterfly, or wants to get it and so it can pin it and keep it forever. Of course, it doesn't realize the butterfly is dead by that time. But higher consciousness goes, oh, I just got a glimpse of what it is like to be in truth. Thank you, thank you, thank
Hey,
you. Ever have
Jeremy.
those moments? They don't last forever. They're not supposed to, but they are a hint of what living out of my authentic self could be all the time.
Yes, they do last forever because you still got that memory and that essence. You don't have to
Yes.
think about it, it comes back.
It's actually, I believe it's more than a memory. I believe the experience is still alive within us. It's not, it doesn't have the same emotional attachment, but the experience is alive. So if I think of someone, I suppose I think of someone that I love that I really care about, and the thought of them comes into me, and I automatically feel my heart opening. And then, of course, I need a cup of coffee, right? Or somebody rings the doorbell, and I don't forget about that so much, but I come back to it later on. I go, the emotional charge is not there necessarily, but the energy of that contact is still there. And that's, to me, that's always a reminder of what being in truth is like. And it's a reminder that I could be and I will be in that state of consciousness sometime, all the time. That's what heaven is. That's what higher consciousness is. I am there. I am not judging it. I'm not trying to make it happen. I am just there. I am in love. I am in peace. I am in joy. It is an aspect of my being.
Hey, Jerry.
Yeah, Jim. Hey, like the hat, man.
Thanks, man. Thanks, man. What occurred to me is that when you were sharing different levels, it appears that this first channel, that survivor channel, that appears to me that that's what I have been made to believe or socialize, and that's kind of baked into this consciousness, this kind of that's collective consciousness. And so what I have to do, because prior to maybe to this knowingness of this truth, I didn't really believe that I had a choice, or I was aware of going to a different level. And so I for me, I have to, I use the word I made up. I'm a forgetter. I'll just forget. So I have to consciously, not unconsciously, consciously kind of be aware of where I'm at in terms of the energy field. So it's yeah, thank you.
Most religion is on channel one and channel two. Now, religion by its nature has a number of different aspects. Most major religions have, I don't want to get too bogged down in this one, but it might be an important point, have an exoteric nature. In other words, their external nature is rules and laws and ritual. That's it. But there's also an exoteric part of most major religions, and that's entering into the spiritual realm, the mystical realm, where there's less and less of a distinction between you and me, between, let's say, Islam and Christianity, or Islam and Judaism. In the external world, there's huge differences. In fact, there's differences that are so large that they don't seem to be compatible one way or the other. But if you are talking to, let's say, a mystic, a Christian mystic, let's say you take Thomas Merton and you pull him out and you put him next to Rumi, the Sufi poet. They're not going to be arguing with one another about who's right. All right, you're gonna say, "Wow, that's beautiful. I didn't realize you saw things that way. Here's how I see them." So one of the things that we're doing here is getting beyond the formal part of things, and its presence and being at this level of amplitude and tone is what reclaims the world, a new heaven and a new earth. To assume that your true self is polite, is nice, does what she's expected to do, would be confused. That's okay. We're not crossing that out. But that's not a definition of your authentic self. It is nice. It is loving. It is kind. It is joyful. But that's not who it is. To comprehend that the aspect of you that is in allowance here and is reclaiming every aspect of you in true nature is the aspect of God, come as you will, announce its truth. The aspect of God, come as you will. You are a unique expression of divine nature. You are a unique expression of godness. God shows itself, herself, himself, through the essence of who you are. So when I look in a little baby's eyes, I recognize that they know the truth of who they are. They don't know that they know, but they're still in contact with the truth of who they are. It shines through. It takes what, and then what's going to happen is they're going to go into forgetfulness. People are going to start telling them who they are, and they're going to start believing them until they come to a point and say, wait, stop. Enough. I've had enough of everybody telling me who I am. I know I have a hunch of who I truly am. And I'm going to be working on that one on more and more and more until it becomes a reality. And that's what we're doing here on Sunday morning. That's what you're doing when you leave here a little bit later on. That's what you might do on Tuesday. That's what you might do on Tuesday morning in your meditation or in your reading or in your work on yourself, of saying, enough. I am as much as I possibly can in this moment, I am claiming my true identity as a child of God. I might forget. And I might need to reclaim it again and again and again and again. But I am worth reclaiming it more and more and more and more. And when somebody comes along and says, you're just like your old man, I say, no, that's not true anymore. I might have some of the external qualities that he had, but that's not who I am. It never was. See, we have that whole thing here. instead of being a unique child of God, you're a sinner. That is, who is it? Some person put it, I'm a sewer, I'm a sewer, I'm a great big sewer. No, you're not. You might have been told that. But it's so hard to be able to contradict that on a lower level of awareness. You can't contradict that truth, that stuff that you were told on a lower level. You have to deny it on a higher level of consciousness. The higher level of consciousness doesn't get into an argument, get into a fight with your ego. It says, that's just not who you are. I know who I am. And because I know who I am, I know who you are. I love who I am. I love who you are. I love the essence of who you are. I cannot not love who you are. I might forget. Who said God was polite? Who said that God likes its tea in the afternoon? The monad, the oneness, as you, who has come, who has come, who has come, is in decree of a great tone and sound, the great I am, yes, but not I am Sheila or I am Roger. I am the true self that reclaims all things in the true nature of being. Say that last sentence again. I am the true self that reclaims all things in the true nature of being. Everything is best. Everything is important. How did somebody put it? The Native Americans teach that there are only two things to remember. One is everything is alive. And the second thing is we are all connected. Everything is alive and we are all. If I could remember that, the way the Buddhist golden rule, you know, love God, love your neighbor, goes like this. See yourself in others. Who then shall you harm? Oh, I love that. See yourself in others. Who then shall you harm? I am the true self that reclaims all things in the true nature of being. So I flip on the news. That's not who you are. That's not what the world is either. It's what the people would like you to believe the world is. How can I see this differently? I can see it differently by turning the channel off, pretending it's not there. But see, that's really where the paradox kicks in and the real adventure begins. How can I see the world? Can I see the world beyond the fear, beyond the agony, beyond the fear, beyond the shame, beyond the starvation, beyond the cruelty, beyond the lies? Can I see beyond that? Not can I ignore that or throw that away of saying, that's my lower consciousness working and that's the way it works. That's what it sees. Peace Pilgrim once said, when enough people reach a state of inner peace, there will be no more war. When enough people reach a state of inner peace, there will be no more war. I believe that. I honestly believe that. I struggle with that sometimes, but I believe that's the truth. The difficulty that I run into is, do I believe that that's possible? And if I don't believe it's possible, it ain't gonna happen. That's my stuff. If it's not possible, it ain't gonna happen. So my prayer a lot of times is, Lord, that I let me see the possibility that this could exist or this might be able to exist. Let me take a step back because I really don't believe it can exist, but I want to believe it can exist or I want to believe. So start wherever the hell you are, whether you want to or want to, want to, want to, want to, want to, want to, five or six step back and say, I want to, want to, want to, want to, want to believe. Wherever it happens to be, and say, Lord, here's where I am. let me be ready to take the next step into consciousness, in the higher consciousness, and do that day after day after day until it becomes a little bit closer and a little bit closer and a little bit closer. And there's going to come a day when I'm going to believe that's possible. And when I believe that's possible, it starts to happen. It will happen, can happen. But if I stay stuck in, I don't believe that I want it to happen, but I don't believe it can, nothing's going to happen, nothing's going to change. Matt.
I find myself very often in my own wars over and over again. And if I can find inner peace in those wars, it makes me feel, I want to say victorious, because that's not the right word, but able to overcome the turmoil. And so if I can do that in my own life, and it works, it really works, then maybe I can do that in the lives of those around me and in the world right around me. And what, that's, you know, part of all of this is figuring out what you're called to do.
Is what?
Is figuring out what you're called to do.
Yeah.
And oftentimes I get distracted.
We
by
all
things,
do.
By things that I realize I'm not called to do that. And so I don't listen to try to figure out what it is that I am called to do. I spend so much time on being distracted. And yet there's that whisper constantly when I said, this is what I'm called to do.
Yeah. What helps you flip the switch?
I think oftentimes what helps is the agony, the discomfort of being so involved in the world itself. And then saying,
you know,
I don't know how to overcome this.
That's a real interesting point, Matt. The agony of separation. Right? If I allowed myself to be really conscious of how awful it feels to be in judgment, to be in separation, even with one other human being or a whole bunch of human beings, all right? If I really gave myself the opportunity to feel how shitty that feels, right, I would not stay there. I would choose to be someone or somewhere else. If I chose to be in that state of consciousness, that peace is impossible. If I let myself stay in that energy and realize how awful that feels, I would almost be pushed to change myself. So that's one of the reasons why it's kind of a paradoxical realm to be in, but one of the reasons why we might perceive difficult things in our lives is because if I perceive it and realize the painfulness of it, right, I will choose not to stay there. I will choose to move on. I could see this differently. I can see that. I don't know how I can see this differently, but I believe I can.
Call
it
a
V8. Pardon me?
A V8. I
would have
had a
V8
today.
Jerry?
Yeah.
Just a little, I look at it, I hear you, but also too, like I could go ahead and be in this, whatever this is, but I'm not ready to go ahead and deal with it, you know, in terms of, you know, looking at the shittiness of it, or the darkness of it. So I'm just going to go ahead and mask it with something.
Okay. And then what happens next?
Just more of the same, but I'm not ready to take it, look at it, love it, forgive it. So I just don't want to deal with it. I know I should deal with it. Maybe the higher conscious wants to deal with it, but the lower conscious says, you know what? I'm not ready for this because,
okay.
Yeah.
So I let my prayer be, Lord, help me to become ready. Help me to become ready. I know I probably mentioned this a number of times. One of my favorite scenes in the Gospels is the Roman centurion coming up to Jesus and saying, my servant is sick. How can you heal him? And Jesus said, where do you live? And he said, Lord, I don't want to bother you. I know you have the power to work the miracle from 5 miles away, from 10 miles away, 15. I know you can work this miracle of healing right here, right now. You don't have to go, you don't have to go. I don't have to show you where I live. Unfortunately, it was translated, Lord, I am not worthy. There's something wrong with me. That's not what the real translation was all about. The real translation said, I don't want to bother you. Lord, I know you can work this miracle from a distance. And Jesus said, do you believe I can do this? And the man said, yes, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. I believe, but I'm not, I know I can't, I don't believe as much as I possibly. Will you give me a boost? I'm doing the best I can here. I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Lord, that I may see. There's a scene in the book, the Holy Spirit's Interpretation of the New Testament, and I think I mentioned this on actually on Tuesday evening, because it's one of my favorite scenes too. Is the one where the Jesus is going into the garden to pray, and he takes Peter, James, and John with him and says, pray with me for a while. And Jesus goes to a separate place a while and he comes back. Of course, they're asleep. And you can tell he was upset. Didn't say anything. Did that three times. Third time he comes back, they're asleep again. And he said, basically, it's enough. Come on, we're going. And what it said after that was, from that point on, I'm using my own words here. From that point on, there was no more Jesus. In other words, there was no more attachment to his personality or to his ego consciousness, right? There was all that was left was the will of the Father. That's all. Would that I could come close to that one. Now, personality here still exists, but do not confuse it. Here's really what the meat of this lesson today is all about, I believe. Now, personality exists here still, but do not confuse it. Your idea of self, the masquerade you have been playing, has an anchor still in the lower realm. You're still attached to it. You're still attached to channel two, your story. It's okay. Just remember it's not who you are. But as much as we're attached to it, we're defining ourselves through our story. The masquerade you've been playing has an anchor still in your lower realm. You know your favorite television show. You know your best friend's name. These doings exist. These things exist. They are yours to partake in. But the claim that is being made for you now, I am in the upper room, I have come, I have come, I have come, claims all aspects of self, and then all aspects of the world in the high order you have moved to equivalency with. Say that again. See if you can take this in. Personality exists here still, but do not confuse it. It's not who you are. Your idea of self, the masquerade, the mask you have been playing, has an anchor still in the lower realm. You know your favorite television show. You know your best friend's name. These things exist. They're yours to partake in. They're part of being here on planet Earth. But the claim that is being made for you now, I am in the upper room. I am in higher consciousness. I have come, I have come, I have come, claims all aspects of self. And then all aspects of the world in the high order you have moved to equivalency with. Your true self. Who came walking through these doors this morning? Your true self? I'll tell you, be honest with you, when I walked in here, I said, oh, it's chilly in here. Should have turned the heat on. All of a sudden, my authentic self went out the window. Not only when I decided it was chilly here and I was uncomfortable, I said, oh my God, the people who come in here are going to be uncomfortable. What are they going to think about me when they feel uncomfortable? It's like worrying about the guy. The guy is in the car behind you, worrying about what they're thinking. As long as I'm thinking about what I think other people are thinking, think of what kind of reality that I'm living in. I'm about four stages away from reality. I'm thinking about what I think you might be thinking about me. Which, first of all, it doesn't make any sense because you're probably not thinking about me at all anyway. But how easily, as you were saying, Dan, how easily we can get lost in that one. And this is saying, no matter how or where or when or why you get lost in it, it's still not who you are. You will forget, but you will also remember again. And when you remember again, you have a choice. You can beat yourself up for forgetting, or you can be grateful for remembering. And the more grateful I am for remembering, it's what kind of what Matt was alluding to. The more grateful I am for remembering, the more I'm going to be open to that. The more truth is going to come through, the easier it's going to be for me to do it again the next time, the next time, and the next time. I'm going to say that last piece again, and then we're going to do a meditation. Personality exists here still. Your ego and your personality didn't disappear just because you know what higher consciousness is all about, and just because, excuse me, you're acting through your true self. But do not confuse it. It is not who you are. I'm adding that piece. Your idea of self, the masquerade, the mask you have been playing, has an anchor still in the lower realm. Still does. I'm still attached here to planet Earth. I'm not complaining about that one. How did Richard Bach put it in Illusions? He said, here is a test. If you want to know if your life's mission is finished, if you're still here, it's not. So I guess we're not finished yet. Well, we had a saying in the 60s, be patient, God's not finished with me yet. Your idea of self, the masquerade you have been playing, has an anchor still in the lower realm. You know your favorite television show. You know your best friend's name. These things exist. They are yours to partake in, to enjoy, even. But the claim that is being made for you now, I am in the upper room. I have come, I have come, I have come, claims all aspects of self. And then all aspects of the world in the high order you have moved equivalency with. They claim your higher truth. And when you claim your higher truth for yourself, you claim it for everyone and everything else. Everything is alive, and we are all related. No matter how I feel, you notice emotions don't play a big role in these spiritual teachings. They're there. They're part of our lives. But emotions don't define who we are either. We have them. They affect us, but they're not who we are. They're not who you are either. Anybody have anything they want to add before we do our meditation? Linda.
Well, I'll be quick about this because we don't have
time. It's perfectly okay.
when you talk about coming in the room and you felt as though you were in possibly the higher vibrations and so on and so forth, but then you noticed the other things so that somewhat brought you down or whatever. This is where I have a conflict, and maybe I'm one of the ones I have to look at each different point. But had you not done that, that the room is cold, not necessarily what are you going to think of you, but I'm kind of responsible. I want the room to be comfortable and going down the road. I know that may be in the lower level, but we have to be like that.
And I agree, and I think that's what it's saying here, okay? You know, it's like the Buddha say, you know, after enlightenment, do the laundry, right? Okay? It's not going to get done all by itself, okay? And so that, I come walking in here and I say this, it's a little bit, the temperature's a little bit lower than I would like it to be. It's probably going to, might be a little bit uncomfortable. I'm a little bit uncomfortable with that. So I need to find somebody to turn the thermostat up, or at least do that for next week. And that's me honoring our physical self, which would be silly for me not to honor. Right? Doesn't mean there's something wrong. But what I was talking about was when I go from a higher state of consciousness to a lower state of consciousness. Lower state of consciousness doesn't mean that, or a higher state of consciousness doesn't mean that I ignore the thermostat. It means that I change what I can change. Like the serenity prayer. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage change anything, and the wisdom know the difference. Right? That's a beautiful way of describing both higher and lower consciousness. It's not ignoring one or the other. Does that make sense? But I appreciate what you're saying, because that's true. So let's take a couple of minutes. You can put your stuff down. Take a couple of breaths. I want to thank you all for letting me be part of your lives for these 45 minutes or so. Because whether you realize it or not, it is extremely healing for me. And I walk out of this room on Sunday morning knowing that I have stretched, knowing that I have grown, knowing that we have contributed to the healing of the world. And by doing so, we have not ignored our lower self or ego, personality, consciousness. We've accepted the fact that my ego and my personality sort of have the energy of a 3-year-old. It doesn't know how to ask for what it needs except by crying and having a tantrum. Nothing wrong with that. That's the only way it knows how to express itself. And it might be expressing itself very, very strongly and very in reality too, saying, it's too cold in here. Let's do something about it. Now, it might require my higher self doing something about it. And that's perfectly okay. Get in touch with the rhythm of your breathing. Settle, soften. Notice any knots in your being that are just kind of tight, physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually, just sort of holding on. And breathe into them, let them soften. Relax. Notice the quiet. Notice the spaciousness. Notice the lack of conflict. Just being. Your true self doesn't have to do anything. Just let it be. And from that allowance of being flows love and joy and gratitude. And for that, we give thanks. There is a word in scripture, Emmanuel. We all usually only say that around Christmas time. But basically what Emmanuel means is God with us all the time. Higher consciousness is with us all the time. Deep breath. Stretch a bit. Open your eyes when you're ready. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Jerry.
Good for us to be here. Thanks for being here with us.
Thank you so much.
Have a good week.
You too, man. Yeah. Peace.
Thank you, Jerry. Thanks, Jerry. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you.
Loved it.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry.
Have a good